Our reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, starting at verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." When we first set up our little retreat on Anglesey, can't believe it's nearly 2 years now, a colleague suggested we should give it a pithy Welsh name. That was before we became Welsh learners, Dysgu Cymraeg, so we were a little bit limited, but we ended up calling it Heddiw from very early on, and it stuck. Heddiw, the Welsh word for today. I'm confident about that one. Because it was called Heddiw because our vision for the retreat is for people to come so they could stay in the moment, where for a little while they can leave burdens, concerns, cares, anxieties behind. And so, in the peace and stillness of Heddiw, of today, with God's help and grace, they'll be ready to face the future when it's time to go home. Pithy, I hope so, even though now I realise that it's probably more well known as a news programme title. But also challenging, for it's hard to stay in the moment, isn't it? In today. Even now, we're thanking God for all that God has provided and all he will provide. We'll continue to look back with thanksgiving over Peter and Susan's ministry for a long time to come, and to look forwards with trust, without losing heart, as Jeff reminded us this morning. But today, well, that is something else. Today, pithy and challenging, and yes, somewhat of a news broadcast, because it's the word Jesus began with for his new beginning. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Good news for the poor, freedom for the prisoners, sight for the blind, the release of the oppressed. And with the people listening in the synagogue on that Sabbath, stunned and amazed. These things will happen. This Jesus they all know as the local carpenter is proclaiming they will happen through him. Maybe there were a few there who became some of the first Christians after his death, who would have looked back at his life with thankfulness because they saw what he had said was true for them. Jesus did preach good news to the poor. He did restore sight to the blind, heal the sick, release the oppressed. And as Christians who follow today, might we know we have been healed and transformed through his love and forgiveness. We might know what it's like to be sick, then healthy, blind, then seeing, brought down, then lifted high. We listen to those words and we can feel awestruck and uplifted by them. Yes, he fulfilled the prophecy. Yes, we celebrate, we worship. We can sing as triumphantly as Moses and the Israelites. We can look back in thankfulness and forward with hope. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Freedom for the prisoners. He said that too. How would we understand freedom today? Is it something we take for granted? For the listeners of Jesus in their day, in their today, their roots were wound around slavery. Their whole history and religion was deeply founded in captivity and freedom from slavery. The Israelites, captive under the Egyptians and led by Moses and delivered by God, celebrated their release, yes, with singing and dancing at the water's edge, and also by releasing slaves and ending debts every 7 years, the year of Jubilee, the year of the Lord's favour. Yeah, the Israelites understood freedom and they knew the cost. When Jesus said those words, he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. What an intense moment that was, with past history and future hope colliding into their today. The Israelites were captive again, this time with the power of Rome casting its shadows into every corner of their lives. So many were expecting a mighty overthrow of Rome. What mighty act would God perform through this Jesus, who was proclaiming once more the year of the Lord's favour? What great sea would he part to free them from their slavery? But it was not until Jesus himself was captive, nailed to a cross, did prisoners start to be freed. There was Barabbas, free instead of Jesus. What irony! I come to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, Jesus said. This is how the prophecy is fulfilled. And his last conversation on earth, forgiving a dying criminal. I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. This is the release Jesus is proclaiming. This is the freedom. Freedom from the captivity of sin. Through his death, we are freed from death itself. It's what we sing about. It's what we praise. Jesus rose and conquered death. Our chains fell off. Our sins are forgiven. We were slaves to sin and now we are free. And so we can listen to these words and we can be uplifted by them today. For our roots too have tangled and spread in much the same way where freedom and slavery is concerned. It's not so long ago we sang Rule Britannia and meant it. Britain never ever shall be slaves, really, when we have been imprisoned in our own past of slave mastery. The path to freedom we have made today. This one in between the very, very symbolic Red Sea was formed with pieces of slate washed upon the beaches of Anglesey and picked from the quarry at Dunorwig, where the great black rocks tower above you on both sides like a sea rearing up, much more effective than mine. And you can collect slate down there like blackberries. Next stop, though, Penryn. These slates, little waste products of a massive industry that once added to the coffers of a sugar plantation owner. These are our roots, just like the Israelites, old knotted roots of slavery and oppression, scattered over the surface of our land. But also, thankfully, just like them too, wound around with an ongoing freedom for the prisoners. Thank you, William Wilberforce, and others like him. And what of today? I have a school friend who teaches English as a foreign language in Middlesbrough. Most of her students are asylum seekers. One day she asked one of them what he liked best about living in this country. And he said, "Here I am free." And what of our own stories? Some of the more marked and dirty pieces of slate that you had trouble writing on were dug up from my own backyard. What of our own releases from fear, from addictions, from regret, from loneliness, from the prisons of isolation, from sin? What of our long walks to freedom in God's even deeper rooted, all-encompassing love? We too, in God's kingdom, can surely say, "Here we are free." Yes, Jesus fulfilled and fulfills the prophecy in our hearing today. Yes, we celebrate, we worship, we give thanks. Yet freedom is such a big word. It's such a huge gift to be given all at once. Are we ready for it? Freedom, as God's word, is a two-edged sword. Christ's freedom is to be found in its balance with responsibility. We are not only freed from sin, we are freed to do what? That's where the responsibility lies, in what we do with our freedom. Over these last few weeks, we have said our goodbyes to Peter and Susan. We've given thanks for their ministry and shared many memories and stories. For the two of us, Nigel and I, relatively new to Penrith, we have delighted in having our first and growing impressions of their ministry confirmed and fleshed out as that beautiful balance of freedom and responsibility. The Sunday before last, as James led worship, he described Peter as giving us freedom to grow. And in Peter's penultimate sermon on the end of death, and if you've not heard it, download it, it defines Peter as a free man, as a man set free in Christ to preach resurrection. And now we are all released into a strange new season where, rocked by this mini earthquake of change as we may be, we may also need to rediscover and reset that balance between freedom and responsibility in order to continue to grow. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free, Paul says in Galatians 5, verse 1. "Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." Paul, in his letters, is teaching about freedom and responsibility. He's dealing with a lot of different people who are coming to terms with their newfound freedom in Christ, and he's setting down guidelines on how to live. The Galatians, it seems, is finding it hard to stay free. The yoke of slavery Paul was talking about was the law of the Old Testament that was creeping back into their Christian free lives, along with all sorts of pagan rituals. They were becoming slaves again. It must have been a right old mess, or stompio, to use another pithy Welsh word. Apparently that's Anglesey, because he was dealing with messy human nature. Humanity, it seems, has always had difficulties with freedom. It seems we have pretty short memories where God acting on our behalf is concerned. There were the Israelites in Exodus, free at last from their slavery in Egypt, due to these amazing acts of God, yet they panic at the sight of the seemingly uncrossable Red Sea. Though they've got some memories about some things. "What have you done bringing us out of Egypt?" they say to Moses. "Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Leave us alone and let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better to serve the Egyptians than die in the wilderness." But Moses says, verse 13, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." And the Red Sea parts and becomes their path to freedom. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery, says Paul. Do not be afraid. Stand firm, says Moses. Freedom is scary. It means stepping out into the unknown today and standing firm. It means living our lives maybe in a whole new way. And we still have great difficulties with freedom, even in our free world. A long time ago, when our children were small, very long time ago, a friend offered to have them for the weekend. It was on the spur of the moment, so Nigel and I had no time to plan what we would do with our freedom, even though we'd dreamt about it for so long. We just couldn't decide. All things we could have done, we could have gone to the pictures, but there was nothing we wanted to see. We could have gone out for a meal. We couldn't decide where to go, and when we did, it was booked. We could have gone for a walk. Why didn't we? We could have done anything. What did we do? We ended up washing the dog. Can you remember? All that freedom, all that choice, we just couldn't choose. Yes, we had great difficulties with freedom. As the world now, there's so much choice on every level. We can think what we like. We can do what we like. We can go where we like at the touch of a button. We have conquered and made captive the air, time, space, knowledge. This is our world view, and yet so much freedom, and we still don't know what to do with it. It can seem as though the whole world is enslaved in its own freedom, and through unfair trade and human trafficking, we begin to take slaves again. And only this weekend, we've been reminded about in a college in America of the consequences of one country's choice of freedom to bear arms. Freedom without responsibility is slavery once more. Yet Christ proclaimed freedom for the prisoners. Christ died so we are freed from sin. We are living in his resurrection light. So how do we live? The Israelites eventually had their laws under Moses to help them grow into their freedom. And Paul's teaching gave the Galatians freedom to grow. His guidelines might be familiar. Keep Christ at your centre. Serve one another in love. He says in chapter 5, love your neighbour as yourself and live by the Spirit, whose fruits are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Interestingly, in our own new season, we're going to be looking at the gifts of the Spirit in our evening services and in God's sort of gardening manual, gifts mean fruit. And Paul also gave something else for us to follow, something which made him Christ-like. He acted as a free person. There's a story in Acts 16 where Paul and Silas have been thrown into prison in Philippi, and there was a violent earthquake that demolished the prison and broke everyone's chains. Paul could have run away. He could have escaped unnoticed into the chaos and thanked God for delivering him from danger. Yet Paul stayed where he was, And when the jailer, thinking he'd let his prisoners escape, wanted to kill himself, Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." Paul could have run away, could have hidden, but he chose to be still and proclaim himself. He stood firm, and the jailer and all his family were baptized. Remember Moses saying to the Israelites, "Stand firm, be still." He was saying, "You're not running away, you're free." Paul had stood firm, and this is the act of a free man. Freedom is not escape. The jailer found Jesus because of the way Paul acted in freedom and in trust. Yes, freedom is scary and heady and challenging. And the stories we've touched on shows that. But the same stories also hold the clues and the guidelines on how to be free. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore. Stand firm and trust as Moses did, and your unseen path to freedom will be revealed. Stand firm in love like Christ, whose path led through death to freedom for us all. Be imitators of Christ as Paul was, when he stood firm amongst the chaos and the rubble instead of running away. We're not Christ. We're not Paul. We're not Moses. We no longer have Peter and Susan, but we're still free. We could panic about that freedom and run away into a world full of little freedoms. Or we could bind ourselves and each other with our own rules. We could be slaves or take slaves. Or we could stand with each other firmly in the love of Christ in this moment at the beginning of our unknown futures, and watch the waters part, new paths revealed, and hear Moses say to us once more, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that God will accomplish for you today." Let's pray. Loving God, you call us to be free. Help us to use that freedom not to indulge ourselves, but to serve one another in love, to carry each other's burdens, and to keep in step with the Spirit, all the time standing firm in your love. In Jesus' name, amen.